We begin the current daf itself, the Sukkah daf Nun. We begin on the bottom daf Mem Tes and Beis, two lines up in the bottom of Yamut, where the Gemara continues discussion in the Mishnah from daf Mem Ches, where it spoke about the process of the Simchas Beis Hasheva, which culminates in the Nisach HaMayim, pouring the water libations on the Yamtiv of Sukkahs by the Tamid Shel Shachar. Now it says that Kamaseu B'chol, just like it was done during the weekday, the procedure, so too was Maseu B'Shabbos, exactly how they would do the same on Shabbos. The one difference was that they would already fill it up from the Shiloach waters from before Shabbos, in a chavis, in a barrel that was not mekudeshes. Now that the Gemara asks, Vamai, why was it necessary to take a barrel that was not mekudeshes, wasn't sanctified? Nice to be mekudeshes, they should bring it in a sanctified vessel. Now, the reason why one would want to fill it up in a vessel that's not mekudeshes is because it's going to be left overnight, because they're filling up for before Shabbos, and they're only going to use it the following morning, Shabbos morning. Now that would be a concern of lina, of anything that's sanctified. If you leave it overnight, it becomes invalidated because it was left overnight. That's the invalidation of lina. However, the Gemara assumes that even a sanctified vessel will not sanctify the contents that are inside of it, which in this context is talking about the water, which would then become invalidated with lina, only with two conditions, as the Gemara assumes right now. First of all, that it should be the intention that the vessel is there to sanctify it. That should be the purpose of it. Or if, let's say, there's more than the shear that's supposed to be, which makes it not eligible, not fit for this vessel, then the vessel would not sanctify it, because the second assumption the Gemara has is that a vessel will not be mekadesh something, only what's fit for it. So basically, the Gemara's question is, there's a certain amount that's used for the Nisach HaMayim, so therefore, what's more than that, A, first of all, would not become sanctified, because it's more than what's fit, so it's not necessarily what's this vessel's utility for being mekadeshit. And additionally, that has to be our intention when we're putting into this kli sharis to sanctify it. So basically, the Gemara's question is, what's wrong with using kli mekadeshes? First of all, you're having what's not fit, because you're having more water than what's necessary for the nisach hamayim, and therefore it's not roh for this kli, because it's more than what's necessary. So that in itself is going to make it not mekudeshes. And additionally, we don't want it to become mekudeshes. We know it's going to become invalidated through lina. So that's not our purpose. So therefore, it never becomes sanctified in the first place. So what's wrong with using a chavis mekudeshes? So the Gemara has three approaches to this. And all of them are contesting this idea regarding if there is such a thing necessarily that these two assumptions are correct. Where Ziri says the first interpretation. He says, Ksavar, that the town of our Mishnah holds, ain't shir l'mayim. There is no measurement for the water of the Nisach HaMayim. That is, even although we said that there are three lugan that are used, but really, even more than three lugan are also fit to be used in the Nisach HaMayim, because the Torah doesn't say an exact shear that it should be. We just say that the least amount are the three lugan, because that's the smallest amount that we find with Nisachim in general, as we find by the wine Nisachim, which are used throughout the Karbonas Tibur. And therefore, these waters are considered ra'u, fit for these vessels, because it's not considered more than the measurement, and therefore the kli is going to be mekadeshit. As a pasuk says, kol negei behem yikdosh, whatever touches the sanctified vessels, if it's fit for it, it sanctifies it. And therefore, even if he doesn't want it to become sanctified until tomorrow, where this is where he contests the second point, the kli shor is mekadeshin shlemidas. And that is because, actually, a kli shor is mekadesh even without your intention. And therefore, the Gemara continues on top of Nun Amad Alf, hence, if we were to use a sanctified vessel, if subalina, it would become possible with being left overnight, because since it did become kaddish, it becomes sanctified with the kaddush zaguf, the water became kaddish, so then essentially it's like the emurim of a carbon, which are the sacrificial parts, where that's where the halach of noiser is said. If you leave it overnight, it becomes a valid. Here too, because the two assumptions that we said, first of all, it's not going to be considered putting in more than what it is, because actually, there is no shear for the water, so you don't have that problem. That's not considered rov for the kli sharis to mekadesh it. And regarding the other point of that, it only has to be if that's your intention. On that, the Tana actually contests and says it's not true. Even if it's not your das, still, if it's considered rov for it, it will be mekadesh it. And that's why I couldn't use a chavis mekadeshes. Chizkiyama, the second interpretation the Gemara brings, is agrees with the first pshat. Definitely could conclude that there's no shear for the mayim, for nisach mayim, because that it seems everyone agrees, as the Gemara had assumed, if it's more than the necessary shear, then it's not considered ro for the kli sharis to have some type of impact in it to be mekadeshit. And therefore, it would be considered ro. However, and now the next two pshatim in the Gemara are both going to be based on this concept of Shema Yomru, or Gezeira, that although halachically it might be actually eligible to be with a Chavas Mekudeshes, but it might be perceived problematically, and therefore we don't allow it. Because he says, Klisharis ein Mekadeshin ela Midas. That the halacha is actually that a Klisharis is not Mekadesh only Midas. Now, then the question becomes, then what's the reason of our Mishnah that says we don't use a vessel that's Mekudeshes? What's the problem? If it's not going to be sanctified only with Das, so go ahead and use a Chabas as Mekudeshes, because it's not sanctified in any ways, even though it's considered Ro. And that the problem is, that's a decree, because people might say that it was intention for it to become Mekudeshes, because someone that's going to see tomorrow that they're taking this clay Sharis that had the water in it overnight, he's going to think, oh, that was their intention, that it should become sanctified from the night before. Now, and he knows, as everyone knows, that since there's no measurement for the waters, so the vessel was Mekadesh, because it's considered Rofrit, and they see that they're using it for the Nisach HaMayim, so he's going to say, he's going to conclude that, oh, must be that there's no halach of Lina to invalidate Nisachim. Now, that could be problematic, because actually it's not the halacha, because there is an application of Lina for the waters, even though it's not Emor. And therefore, although Chizkiah doesn't say like Zeiri, and he holds that actually it would not become Mekudeshes, because if it wasn't your intention, it doesn't become sanctified, even though it's Ro. However, again, it's because of a Gzeira concern that people might not know that. They might think it was done Midas, that we say you shouldn't use the Chavas Mekudeshes. Similar, Omer B'yana, Omer B'zeiri, he says a third interpretation. He says, Afilatema Yeshir Lamayim. Yes, you could even say that there actually is a measurement for the water. So he's even disagreeing regarding that first assumption, that it's not even Ro in the first place. So forget about the second pshat of Chizkiah, who he was saying that there's a concern with regarding if it's Midas or not, but he's saying that even if there's a measurement for the water, so if it's a measurement for the water, then what could be the problem at all? How could it be a churva if, even if people will think that it's done Midas, fine, but it doesn't make a difference. If there's a measurement for the water, 3 lugan, and there's much more water that's put into this barrel, it's not going to be kadoshit anyway. Still there's a churva, because you're right, Ukli Sharis in Mekadeshin El Midas. So there's both of the problems really shouldn't apply, because it only has to be with intention, and it's not our intention. And also, there's a measurement, and it's more than that measurement. So what would be the reason to say that it cannot be Mekudeshes, because it's definitely not sanctifying it. And there shouldn't even be a Gzeres Shemayamru, because people will say it might be Damidas. We don't know, but even if it's Damidas, we see that there's more water than what the Shir is. On that, Reb Zera says, still there's concern. That people might say that this bucket that's being filled up with for the hands and the feet of the Kohen Gadol Molam, that's what it was filled up for. And that is because these waters were sanctified in this vessel. Because the halacha is that Kiddush Adam Raglayim, the sanctifications of the hands and the feet, can only be with Mayim Mekudeshim, with sanctified waters, similar to what the Kiyur is, where it was anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, which then makes the waters inside of it holy, which is for Kiddush Adam Raglayim. Now, there was additionally a Kitun Shel Zahav, which was also a pitcher of gold, made out of gold, which they made for the honor of the Kohen Gadol, who he would sanctify his hands and feet with it, as the Gemara says, B'sechtes Yuma, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. Now, that was sanctified. Now, the person who sees this golden flask being filled up with water, he's going to think that what was it being filled up for was Kiddush Adam Raglayim for the Kohen Gadol, which that doesn't have a shear. And that's even if there's 100 lugan, it's still considered fit for the kli, and therefore it becomes sanctified. Now, when he sees the following day that they're using it for the Nisach HaMayim, he's going to say, oh, must be that although this was already sanctified waters, because they were using it not for the Nisach HaMayim, for the Kohen Gadol, who he uses this special golden pitcher, and now they're using it for the Nisach HaMayim, must be although it was sanctified, because it becomes sanctified, because there is no shear for the waters of the, that's for the Kiddush Adam Raglayim of the Kohen Gadol. Now they're using Menisach HaMayim. He's going to say, oh, it must be that Lina is not Poiseles regarding the Halach of Nisach HaMayim, and therefore they can use the invalidated waters from the day before. And that would be problematic, because then one time they might end up using waters that was left over, and that's not true, because Lina is Poiseles, and therefore that's what Reb Zeira is saying, even if one were to say that it only becomes Kaddish with Das, and there is a shear, and therefore there's no reason to say that there's a problem with using a vessel that's Mekudeshes, but it's a Shema Yemu, it's a concern of a Gezeira, that someone might think that it's being used for something else, for Kiddush Adam Raglayim, and then it does become invalidated, because that there is a shear, and that is intended to become Kaddish, And therefore, we're going to use it for the Nesach HaMayim, and people might confuse it, and that's why we say to use a Chavis that's Einu Mekadesh. Now the Gemara continues explaining the Mishnah that said that Nishpacha in this Galsa, so they filled up from before Shabbos with this barrel, the golden barrel. Now if let's say spilled out, so now you don't have any more, or if it got uncovered, and as we explained in the Mishnah regarding where this, we're concerned with waters that are left uncovered, that maybe a snake came and put its venom inside the poison inside the water, which then that's mixed into the shear of what the water is supposed to be, and it's not exactly the shear of just the water, so it becomes possible, and then you would use the water from the kir for the halacha of the Nesach HaMayim on Shabbos. Now, on that the Gemara asks, Vamai, why is it that Mayim Ugulim, this water that was left uncovered, that then it becomes possible, because we said that you have some of that poison of the snake inside of it, but the question is, La'avir b'misanenis, you should be able to separate the water from the poison with a strainer, and then you'll fill up whatever is taken out from the poison that's left on the top of the strainer with the water, and you'll have just of water. Now, on that, the Gemara says, from the fact that our Mishnah doesn't say that, and it says that it's possible because you have the poison inside of it, so lemas nitin de lekrem nechemya. Let's say our Mishnah is not lekrem nechemya. The time because learned in the Brisa as follows: misanenis, a strainer. Now, in the context of this halach and this price is talking about that they would strain to make this what's called yain kunditin, which was how the storekeepers would make, that they would hang a strainer, and they would have this type of aromatic spices and wine inside the strainer, and underneath it was a vessel. Now, the kunditin would then, the water would strain through it, so it would get this aromatic type of taste and smell to the wine. Now, regarding that misanenes, the halacha is yesh b'mishum gilui. There's halacha that invalidates to drink this beverage if it was left uncovered. So if it wasn't safeguarded to make sure that no snake could have gotten it, which is a certain amount of time of what's called being uncovered, as the Gemara says in the Chulin Daf Yom Adalv, which is the amount of time that if a snake could come from beneath the handle of the vessel and drink and go back to its hole, then it becomes forbidden to drink because we're concerned that maybe in that time that no one was looking, the snake came and put its poison in it. And therefore, there is halach of giloy regarding this strainer where the wine is going through it. If they left it uncovered, it becomes possible. Now, on that, Amr Mechemye says, Emasai, when did we say this halacha, that if the beverage is megulim for that amount of time, that it becomes possible? That's only bizman shatachtainam. It's only at the time when the lower vessel, as we said, that there's a strainer on top and then there's the lower receptacle that receives it, is megulim, when that's uncovered. Bizman shatachtainam mechuzim, but if the lower one is covered, then af bishal yin megula, even though the upper one is open, is uncovered, im ba mishum giloy, there is no problem of the halacha of giloy, of being uncovered and not being protected regarding the beverage that's in the low one. And the reason eris nachash, because although there's the poison of the snake that possibly came here, but it's daim lesog, it's similar to a sponge, which is tzaf v'aymed b'mkame, that it floats and it stays in its place. So therefore, whatever is going lower is not going to be the poison. It's only going to be the wine. And therefore, that's not going to become invalid, which is the sakana of the poison of the snake that we're not allowed to drink because it was left uncovered. That doesn't apply because it's going to stay on top. It's not going to go down to the bottom. Now, related to our Mishnah, the question is that why is this water possible because of Megulim? And maybe the snake came and put in poison. And therefore, it's not just a shear of Shleshalugan Mayim because you have some poison mixed in there. Put it in a strainer. And as we find from the Chemia says, that if you're going to put in the strainer, what's going to go down is going to be just the water because the poison is tzafiyim, it's a sponge, it stays on the top. And that would be a way to, so to speak, kasher the water. From the fact that the Mishnah doesn't say that, must be doesn't agree to him. The Chemia holds that no, the poison would come down with it, and therefore must be the Mishnah's not like Rav Nechemia. And the Gemara says, no, Philotim Rav Nechemia. You could say our Mishnah's like Rav Nechemia. Whether Rav Nechemya say his application of this scientific fact that the poison doesn't come down, that's regards to a common person where there's not going to be any poison, so practically speaking, there's no sakana, and therefore there's no issue of drinking because of Mayim Megulim. Avlegvayimi Amar, did he ever say his halacha regarding usage for Hashem? In other words, blessed Rav Nechemya, does Rav Nechemya not hold of the pasuk which talks about in Malachi, Aleph Ches, that says, Hakriveyu no lefechosecha, and were you to then bring this to your leaders, Hayirtzecha, would he desire it? Oh, Yisabenecha, or would he take your face? Would he accept you? Om Hashem Tzavakas, that's what Hashem Tzavakas says. In other words, what Hashem is saying is that this is not fitting for Hashem. You're right. The poison is not there. Went to the top, went to the bottom. But a snake put its poison. This is what you're going to serve to your leaders. They would accept you. And that's what you're bringing to Hashem. It's not fitting. And therefore, according to everybody, even according to Nehemiah, Mayim Gulim would be possible. Because although you're right, the poison stayed on the top. But it's not appropriate that somebody that the snake put its poison in to bring that to Hashem. And again, therefore, our Mishnah could be like everybody, and Mayim Gulim would be possible. Litzarchi Gevayah, it's only Litzarchi Hedyet that maybe that there would be this Machlokes. Hanu Lach Lulav HaRav, we shall return to you the fourth parak in Masechta Sukkah, parak Lulav HaRav. Now we continue to the fifth parak, parak HaCholil, which is a continuation really from the first Mishnah of the fourth parak, which talks about different mitzvahs that apply in different time periods throughout the Yom Tov of Sukkot, which the Mishnah continues that we mentioned in that first Mishnah, HaCholil, the flute, which sometimes it's chamisha, sometimes it's for 5 days on Sukkot, and sometimes it's for shisha, sometimes for 6 days. Now, zeho chalil, this is the flute, which they would play to increase joy, shabes hasheva, which was done by the drawing of the water, which this whole entire simcha was only because of the nesach hamayim, where they would pour the water libations, as the Gemara explained from the pasuk, usha'aftim mayim basasim, that they should draw the water with rejoicing. Which that is, and the reason why sometimes it's 5 days, sometimes it's 6 days, is because in the Deichaloy, the playing of this flute, which was done by the Simchas Beis HaSheva, does not push away the violation of Malacha of Shabbos or Yom Tov. And therefore, if Yom Tov falls out on the same day of Shabbos, where we're talking about in there it's in Yerushalayim, where there's only 1 day of Yom Tov, so then you're left with 6 days of Chol HaMoed. So therefore you would come out that you'd play the flute for 6 days. If Yom Tov is on a weekday, so then you have 2 days that you can't play the flute. You have Shabbos and Yom Tov where it's not Deicha. So then you're left with 5 days. And that's why sometimes the flute for Simchat B'Sheva will be 5 days and sometimes for 6 days. Now we continue on to Amud Beis where the Gemara describes the actual term of what we're talking about where they would play the flute. Itmar was, we learned, Rabbi Huda Rebbe Eina. Chad Tani She'eva, one learned that it was called Simchas Beis Hashoeva, as we said in our Mishnah, b'chatoni chashuva, simchas beis hachashuva. It was the rejoicing of the place where there was this distinguished thing. Now, Amr Mazuchi says, manitoni she'eva le'mishtabesh, the one who learns that the term is drawing, he didn't make a mistake. Umanitoni chashuva le'mishtabesh, the one who learned it, that it's the respectable thing, also didn't make a mistake. As he explains, manitoni she'eva le'mishtabesh, the one who says that it was the simcha of the base of the place where there was the she'eva, the drawing of the water. That's not a mistake. They said, like it says, the pasuk in Yeshaya, which after mayim basasin, that there should be the drawing of the water with rejoicing. Umadatani chashuv lemishtabes, the one who says in reference to this process of taking the water from nesach hamayim, that calls it simchas beis hachashuv, also is not mistaken. The Amar of Nachman, like Rav Nachman said, that mitzvah chashuv, that this is a very chashuv mitzvah. Uva mishesim mebereishis, because it's coming from the 6 days of creation, as the Gemara said previously, that the shisin, the cavities which were on the top of the mizbech, going down to the depths of the world, were created in the 6 days of creation, already preparing it to receive the nesachim. So you see, it's a very chashuva mitzvah, and that's why it's called simchas beis hachashuva. Now, regarding the halacha of the Mishnah, the Gemara brings the following brisa. Turn by and learn the brisa. Hachalul doicha es hashabes. Actually, the playing of the flute is doicha the isra of playing flute, playing musical instruments on Shabbos, Dibur Beis Yehuda. The Chacham Laim, the Chacham say, that no, af Yom Tov in the doicha. Even Yom Tov, which is on some level would be lesser, because there are certain malachas permitted on Yom Tov, even that wouldn't be permitted on Yom Tov. Now, regarding this machlekes of the Chalil, so Omer Vizirisov explains this machlekes. Says, don't confuse it with the halacha of our Mishnah. Says machlekes b'shir shel karban. The machlekes they're having regarding playing the flute in front of the mizbeach is during the nisach hayayin of the tamid shel shachar and the nisach hayayin that they pour the wine libations of the tamid shel bein harbayim. That's because the levim would stand on their platform and they would sing the shir shel yayin and they would be playing the flute, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Erech in Daf Yudim and Alf, where it talks about the halacha of saying hal, and it says that 12 times a year they would play the flute in front of the mizbeach. Now, they wouldn't say the shir by the mizbeach only if there was wine, as the Gemara there says. Now, regarding that flute is where you have Machlekes Rabbi Yosi Yehuda, where he says that it's going to be Deiches Shabbos. The Rabbi Yosi Sover, because Rabbi Yosi holds, Ikka Shira, the primary praise, the shir, the song, which a carbon sibir requires shir min atayra, as the Gemara in Erechin there has at length on Daf Yad Alef and Alef from many different psukim, that he holds that this halach of saying shir by the karbonis is bikli, is with a musical instrument. That's only if you have a chalil, a flute that's playing when the levim are singing this song, so too with the kinaris and the volum and all the different musical instruments with the Gemara there talks about. And therefore, va'avaydihi. So therefore, this musical instrument is considered an integral component of the avodah. Now, therefore, just like a carpet, tamid is deicha Shabbos, so therefore the song of it is also but deicha Shabbos. So therefore it's deicha Shabbos, just like the carpet tamid is, because this is a primary function of avodah, which avodah we know is deicha Shabbos. Although you're not a slaughter animals, however, that's what they would do on Shabbos for the karbanos, so to hear for the shir shalai. And that's where Rabbi Yossi says that the musical instrument, since that's the ikashira, was bekli, so therefore that's deicha Shabbos. However, Rabban and Sabri, they hold Ikashir Bepeh, the primary song, which was part of the Avodah, where the Levim have that's their Avodah to do, that they would say the Shira, that's Bepeh, what they would sing, which was every single day according to that day's song. That is, as the first day was Lashem Aretz Maloya, the second day was Kal Hashem Hulul, and so on. And therefore, V'lav Avodhi, playing the musical instrument is not a component of the Avodah. And therefore, on Shabbos, where you cannot play the Chalil because there's no reason to be Deicha Shabbos. Therefore, Ve'ena Deicha Shabbos is not Deicha Shabbos because the Kli Shir is not the component, the musical instrument is not a component of the mitzvah. As Gemara will shortly learn it out from Sukkim. And therefore, that would depend on what they hold as Deicha Shira. Shir is Deicha, just like the carbon is Deicha. But what is the Shira? If it's the song, because it's not Deicha Shabbos. And that's why Rabbi Yossi holds that you cannot play it. But if you hold that as the Ikka Shir is Bekli, then you could play it on Shabbos. And the Rabbi Yossi, who holds that the Ikashir is Bekli, he would hold it's Deicha. However, according to the other opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that it's not, would hold it's not Deicha. Now, regarding the topic of our Mishnah, regarding the song that they would, and the musical instruments they would play by the Simchas Beis Sheva, where that was the entire night, as the Gemara later on explained from the Mishnah, that they had on these 15 steps going down from the Esses Yisrael to the Esses Nashim, that the Levim would be playing on their musical instruments. Everyone agrees that that's just what's called Simchi Yisera, that's just an extra Simcha, which is nominatory, it's just to make the mitzvahs precious and the people should be all engaged and involved, so they would make a whole Simcha out of it. And therefore, Ve'en Deicha Shabbos, regarding that, everyone agrees to the Tana of a Mishnah, that's not Deicha Shabbos, because that's not an integral component of the mitzvah, and therefore, that's not. Their Machlikas is regarding a different shir, if you could play the musical instruments, regarding the shir of a carbon. Now, Amar Vesavis, it says, where do I know, what's my source, that this is what they're arguing about regarding the other shira that's done by the Karbanas, if the primary shira is bepeh, with their song, or is it bekli, with the musical instruments? The time, like, learn the brisa. Kli sharis sha'asin shal eitz. Regarding sanctified vessels that were used in the Beis HaMikdash, if they were made out of wood. So machlik is if that's valid or not. Rabbi Paisa holds that's invalid. Rabbi Zerud the Machshi says, that's a kashra kli sharis. Now, it says, my lav boke mefagi. Isn't this exactly what they're arguing about? And that is one of the opinions is Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, which we're bringing down over here. It seems like this is the same achlaikis. Man de machshir, Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, who says that it's kosher, in other words, to use a wooden utensil for any klisharas, sava ikar shir bakli. He holds the primary shira is with the utensil, with the musical instrument. And therefore it comes out that the klisharas, that of a klishir is considered klisharas, and therefore the flute that was in the Beis HaMikdash from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, which was made out of a reed, as the Mishnah says in Masechtas Erechin Daf Yudim Beis. Therefore, other klisharas could be learned out of there, and therefore, yalfinam abu v'de Moshe. So you could learn out from the flute of Moshe to say that just like that was made out of something that grows from the ground, which is some, like similar to wood, and therefore, just like that can be made out of a reed, so too you can make klisharas out of a reed or out of something that's wooden. Now, Oman, the Pasul Sav, however, Rebbe, that holds that it's invalid to use a wooden utensil as a klisharas, holds Ikashir Bepeh. The primary shir is done with their song. Now, this that they would use musical instruments is only what's called Levesume Kalab Almahu. It's just a way of accentuating and amplifying what they would be singing with their mouths. And therefore, the klishir, which are the musical instruments, are not considered klisharis. They're not integral components of the Avodah, and therefore, lo yafinim avu de Moshe. You cannot learn out from the flute of Moshe to compare all the other klisharas to the flute and say, just like that is wooden, here also it's wooden, because that's not a klisharas. That was just used as a way of amplifying what was the real mitzvah, which was their song. And therefore, he says, that's the right, what I wanted to say, that they're only arguing by regarding the mitzvah of the karbanas, which that is a halacha in Shira, which is minhat Torah. That could be Deicha, but the question is, what is that Shira? is it bepeh or is it bekli? But regarding simchas ve'eshe'eva, everyone would agree that that simcha is not an integral component of any mitzvah to be able to be deicher Shabbos, and therefore it doesn't make a difference what this shira is. It's not going to be deicher Shabbos, and therefore for sure you cannot play those chalil, the musical instruments, on Shabbos. That the Gemara says, look, it's not a raya that Rav Yis is trying to bring from this brisa that we find that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing regarding this halacha if ikashir is bekli or bepeh. Because actually you could say, dekuliyama ikashir bekli. You could say everyone agrees that the primary shira is with musical instruments. So what's the machlokes? V'hocha bedonin efshir mishi efshir kamifiki. But what they are arguing about is, can you learn a utensil that's possible to be done with what's more chashiv from something that's not possible to be done, as the Gemara explains. Man de machshir sabah, the one who holds that it's kosher, that's Rabbi Yehuda sabah, he holds done in efshir mishi efshir. You could learn out something that's possibly to be done, let's say, with metal, from something that cannot be done with metal, where the chalil, this abuva de moisha, had to be made out of reed. Now, uman de pasal sabah, the one who holds that it's puzzles, no, loy done in efshir. You can't learn out efshir. What that means is other utensils to be used in the base of Migdash, they could be made out of metal, which is more kovadik to be done, to be used. Therefore, actually, they'd be learned out from the menorah, which was made out of gold. And you can now learn it out, mishi'i efshir, from something that's not possible to be made out of gold. In other words, you cannot learn it out from abuba de maisha, even if you say that ikashiri is bekli, and it was a kli sharis. Because over there, the reason is because it wasn't possible to be made out of metal. As the Gemara in Erechin explains that Yudim Abayz, where they tried making it chasha, but it's not appropriate to have out of just reeds. It has to be chasha, made out of gold. So they plated this flute with gold. Now it didn't have the same sweet sound. They took off the plating of gold, and then it had the sweet sound. And therefore, it's e-efsher. So you can't learn out something that's efsher from e-efsher, because really, it has to be made out of, let's say, metal. However, there, the reason why, although it was a cliche, is because it wasn't possible. But you can't compare other things that are possible. Whereas the one who says it's kosher said, no, done in efshir, mishi efshir, you could learn out something that possibly could be made out of metal, even from something that cannot be. Because at the end of the day, you find a klisharis that's made out of eights, even though it's not possible, and therefore other things also could be klisharis made out of eights. That's one approach, not necessarily like Rav Yosef. And the third approach, v'boisim, if you want, you could say, actually, the kuleyama deka shir bepet. You could say, everyone holds that the primary shira is with the song. And you're right, you cannot learn out from the abuba de moisha, because that doesn't signify, it's not a klisharis at all, because that's not the ikashir. The ikashir is bepeh, not bekli. And even if you want to say ikashir is bekli, still you wouldn't be able to learn out from abuba de moisha, from the flute of moisha, because everyone would agree, you're right, that ve'ain done in efshir mishi efshir. You can't learn out something which possibly could be more chashav bekli, like metal, from something that wouldn't be possible, because it's not a raya, that's only because it wasn't feasible, as they even tried. So what is the machlekes? Here the machlekes is regarding when we're learning out from the prototype of what a klisharis is supposed to be like, which is written in the context of the menorah in the Torah, whether we learn the bekloli uprate with the halachic context of a general statement and the specific, or do we define when we have terms in the Torah of things that are including and things that are excluding? That's what they're arguing about. And that is, there's really two ways to expound the Torah. That is, there are those who expound the Torah in klal uprat, and there are those who expound the Torah in what's called ribu miyat. Now, the explanation is that, and there's a famous brisa of Rabbi Shmuel, which is brought in at the end of Karbonis, before davening, that expounds the Torah in klal uprat, where that explanation is that the prat, the specific that comes after the general statement, is that that's the definition of the klal. And therefore, when you have a klal uprat, that's what in the Braisa Rabbi Shmuel defines it as, ein bechlal, there's nothing in that general statement, ela mash beprat, only exactly what's written in that specific. Even things that are similar to the prat are not included with it, because this is the explanation. What was included in the general statement, what I'm telling you right now, and that's it, nothing more. That's klal, and then you have a prat. When you have a second klal after the prat, which is called klal uprat klal, so that's coming to add on to it. Now, if you're coming to add on to the prat, it's enough if you're going to add on something that's similar to the prat. And therefore, if you're going to be done through the last klal, it's only going to be adding things which are similar to the prat, which is called ke'ena prat, which wasn't included in the beginning because all you had was exactly what the prat says. However, those who expound the term what's called ribu yamirt, including and excluding, that they don't consider the prat after the klal as definition of the klal to say that the only thing you have in the klal is what's said in the prat. And rather, it's when you have the first klal, it's including everything. Now, when you have the prat after it, it's just excluding a little bit from the inclusion of the ribui that comes in the beginning. Now, therefore, when you have a ribui after, when you have a ribui, meet a ribui, so that second ribui comes to include everything, basically. Only just something that's very, very different from that klal, which is excluded from the miyut. Now, these things which are ke'en haprat, you don't need that later ribui to include, because as we said before, according to the one who learns ribui miyut, doesn't exclude everything from the miyut, it just excludes a little bit, and then when you have the ribui afterwards, it really comes to include everything. Now, this is what the machlekes in Rebbe and Rebbe Yehuda were arguing about in the context of this halacha that we're learning, can you have a kli sharis made out of kli eitz? As the Gemara explains, Rebbe, who said that it's possible to have a kli eitz for a kli sharis, darish kloli prata. He learns, as the Gemara will explain, with the halachic definition of the drasha of a general statement and specific. Rebbe Yehuda, who says that it is kosher, it's made out of wooden, darish ribi u'me'ute. He darishes the Torah in the context of inclusions and exclusions. Now, as the Gemara explains, Rabbi Darish call it prate, and therefore when it says in the pasuk in Shemais, Vasisa menoiras, you should make the menorah the candelabra, that's a klal, that's a general statement, which out of any type of material. Now, when then it says Zahav tar, pure gold, that's a prat, that's a specific saying what it should be made out of. Now, it says Miksha te'asa menorah, then it says that you should make it, you should chisel out the menorah. Now, Chazav HaKal, again it says a general statement to make the menorah, which could be made out of anything. Now, klal uprata klal, when you have a general statement, a specific and a general statement, and that we explain, according to this definition, if you expound the Torah that way, you could only expound that pasuk, something that's similar to the specific. It doesn't have to be just the specific, which would be gold, because that would be if you had klal prat, when it has the later klal, that includes things similar to the prat, to tell you, maha prat mefurish al matzkes, just like the specific, which is gold, is a type of metal, of kol shematzkes, so too any type of kli sharis can be made out of metal. However, that would exclude something made out of wood. And that's why he holds that kli eitz would not be kosher for kli sharis. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda darish ribuyi umi'uti, he expounds the Torah in the way of including everything and then excluding. Which, basisa menorah, when it says you should make a menorah, that's riba, that includes everything, whatever material can be made out of. Zahav tar, when it says pure gold, that's miyut, that excludes. Miksha tiyasa menorah, that's chazav riba, comes to include everything. It doesn't say what it should be made of. Now, riba umid for riba, according to that, who darshans the Torah in that type of perspective of riba mit riba, riba hakol, essentially that's including everything. My Rabbi Kalmiel said, therefore, what's including, really including everything? But my miyut, but what's the Torah excluding? Because it could have just said the ribui and not said the miyut, then the ribui. So there is something that's being excluded. And that is miyut shel charis. That's excluding if it's made out of earthenware. Where obviously the miyut's excluding something. Now the thing that's most not the same as what we're talking about, which is the least appropriate for being used as a kli charis in the Beis HaMikdash, that's kli charis, which is something that's on the lowest grade. However, the things made out of eitz would be included because that's in the perspective of riba mit riboy. And therefore, there's three different interpretations for this brisa. Rabbi Yosef wanted to say it supports him that this machlokes that we find regarding this brisa of the chalul being deicha Shabbos or not, he wanted to say that's only by the shira of the carbon, because no one would argue on a mishnah, which although there will be a mandamer later on the next daf, that regarding the Simchas Beis Sheva, that it's not going to be Deicha because it's just a Simchi Yisera. The Machlikas was regarding an Aveda, which is Deicha Shabbos, so to the Shir is part of that Aveda, is the Kashir Bekli or Bepeh. And that's what he wanted to prove from the Machlikas between Rebbe and Rizbi Yehuda. That thing where it says two different approaches that could be either everyone holds Ikashir Bepeh or everyone holds Ikashir Bekli, and the Machlikas are regarding two different ideas in Halacha, either have done Efshir Mishi Efshir. Or the machlekes is regarding, as we just explained, how does one darshan the Torah either of klali or prate klali, or of ribui miute and ribui.